You're listening to the Cleveland Browns Radiothon, benefiting the Cleveland Browns Foundation on ESPN 850, WKNR, and ESPNCleveland.com. To bid, Cleveland log Browns on daily. To ClevelandBrowns.com.
You are listening to a very special edition of the Cleveland Browns Daily Show, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Anytime you can pull Doug Deacon off the golf course on an absolutely picture-perfect day today, I'm telling you what, it's a special day in Northeast Ohio.
I think a tougher day would get to get Coach Pettine's dad off the golf course.
Oh, there you go. And Doug has opened the door to our next guest, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, here on the Cleveland Browns Radiothon. Now, you come from a family. You are in a family of educators, right? I mean, your dad was a longtime legendary coach. You were a high school coach. So today, with the work that's being done with the Radiothon, and basically the main goal is getting kids into the classroom, attendance, 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 and then everything works. I mean, I'm guessing that attendance in the Pettine family going to school was very important.
Oh, yeah, very important. It was impossible for me ever to skip school.
I would think so.
One year I had him as my homeroom teacher. That was
Oh, my goodness.
That was the worst. And he was always my ride to school. So, like I said, it would have been very difficult for me to get out of anything.
Well, what a great job the Browns Foundation is doing, and the Haslam family matching everything, all of the funds that are being raised through the Radiothon with some great auction items that are up there that entice people to give. But also, if you can't participate in the packages, okay, if they're a little bit too steep for your taste, and I mean for the trip to go with the Browns out to Seattle on the Browns charter has just gone up again to $2,400. But if you want to donate anyway, we're taking anything, and it's welcomed for the foundation and for our plight here. And the hotline number is 440-824-3401. So, Coach, I mean, you did what do they call that, a robocall? Is that what it is, where you recorded a message? Dante Whitner recorded a message. Hey, we want you to go to school today. Imagine getting that telephone call, huh, from either Whitner, but also from you in a stern voice, but I'm sure assertive.
Well, I'm sure his call carried a little bit more weight than mine, but it was good. I thought it was a unique idea, and hopefully it push some kids the right direction off the fence.
And one other bit of note, Coach, that I want everybody to be aware of is some of the items that you could buy, you know, on the ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app are the camo jerseys that you some coaches may have given those to the players as cool as they were and walk away with them and frame them and put them in their house, but you donated those jerseys that were earned throughout training camp to the foundation to be able to use and raise money for this foundation as well.
Yeah, that was an easy decision to make. When we wore them, we got a lot of real positive response from it. People wanted to know where can we buy these, and it just made perfect sense to, you know, knowing that this event was coming up and the demand that was there for them, and certainly all going to a good cause, and we're hopeful that the camos will bring in a good amount.
And not only are they the game worn or practice worn jerseys, they're all autographed by the players
that
wore them.
Yeah. So I mean, if you were at a training camp during the open practices here to the public, what happened was at the end of a particular session, Coach, you had a period or an activity that would decide the winner of that particular period or activity. And it might be a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman kicking a field goal. I remember one day, I remember that almost became a telethon in length because we were trying to get one through. Okay. And then finally we did. But whoever won that period or that activity, they got to wear the jerseys the next day, right?
Correct, and it was just our way of trying to simulate some real competition, make it be worth something. You know, practice sometimes gets listless, and when all of a sudden you're playing for something, when there's something on the line, you know, your adrenaline picks up, your blood pressure's up a little bit, your body reacts a little different way, and we wanted to put our guys in as many situations of those as possible. The days that we were not in pads, mm-hmm. you know, where we couldn't do something that was truly competitive, that's when we got into the Field goal competition, and the which we did not find our backup kicker in that group. We were throwing passes to hit the crossbar. That one went into several overtimes before it was finally decided.
Really, I definitely thought at one point Jerry Lewis and Ed McMahon would come out for the telethon that they have that would go 24 hours and hey Ed, give us a total right now. You know, I mean, I thought it was going to take that long.
Yeah, it was unique. The coaches were glad. We had done one a year ago where the coaches had to catch punts off the jugs machine, and that was they were glad to get out of that one. We ended up having the players do it, and it worked out well.
We're gonna sprinkle a little football in with you as we visit with you here. But how about when you're talking about finding our backup kicker? How about our kicker the other day ends up kicking a 48-yard extra point?
Yeah, I think somebody should look that up.
It's got to be
Guinness Book of World Records.
It has
sure.
to be. Yeah, it's got to be the longest.
Afterwards, we were like, "Hey, that was obviously relieved that he made it." Yeah. And also, the benefit of getting three practice kicks, including a 48-yarder for a rookie kicker, I thought was an invaluable experience.
I mean, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? So, I mean, that's in the whole thing that they figure out about the 33-yard extra point. But then you figure in, too, well, if you commit a penalty on this thing, and the Browns unfortunately did a couple of times, they become a lot longer. You're so good on, whether it's a win or a loss, in saying on Monday – at your press conference, hey, listen, you take what happened yesterday, you put it in a box, you put that box up on the shelf, and now we move on.
Well, sometimes we take the boxes in the backyard.
Burn them.
Dig a big hole. Yeah. And put them in there. That was certainly the case with this past one.
Yeah, so now that box, wherever it is put away. And now we're on to the home opener, which I would imagine is big for these guys because of what happened last week, and they want to get back on the winning track. But it's the home opener.
No doubt, and we just only have to go back to last year's home opener and just how instrumental the crowd
was
in the victory over the Saints. I just remember that I think we had them early in the game on a third down. They were backed up, and I mean I could feel the ground moving under my feet. The stadium was so loud, and then even at the end of the game when Hawk made the catch to set up the field goal, you could feel. I mean, just the roar that went through the place as well. Even the ball hung in the air forever, but the crowd was awesome, and there's no reason to expect this year that they're going to be any different. But it's on us as players. I tell them all the time, we control the volume. Right. We want the crowd behind us. We got to play well, mm-hmm. And that's a great combination. The better we play, the louder they'll be, and you feel you can overwhelm an opponent with just that wave of emotion.
And coach, I guess coming out of a game that wasn't ideal in anybody's, neither the fan or yours or the players in that room, I guess take us inside that locker room as of this week. These guys have to be chomping at the bit to get out there and really vilify the fact that the team that they saw week one was not who this team is, and to give them another opportunity in front of their home fans, as you just mentioned, to prove who the 2015 Cleveland Browns really are.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but at the same time that we know we're better and we are truly on to the next one. That even Joe Thomas said it to the players after I spoke afterwards. He goes, "Hey, let's go out and have a great week and get dialed in. Let's not let one loss turn into two."
Hey, I want to ask you this, Coach. The other day it struck me, and Doug, I mentioned this to you, but just before kickoff, when the assistant coaches were coming up into the press box area, we bumped into our old buddy Dale McCutcheon, who is now an assistant coach with the Jets and was a great player here out of USC back when the Browns came back in 1999. And it's a great opportunity for him now. He's going into the coaching field. Now, your road to where you sit today was even beyond that, and back to the real grassroots. And you're a high school coach, and we kind of we know that your dad, and that's been well portrayed through that documentary about your dad and his last season and his last game over there in Pennsylvania, and what it meant to him to be a great high school coach. But your path now, do you always look back on that you're a high school coach that really came through every level?
I do, and it's every once in a while I think I need to, I remind myself. I have a when I first got to the Ravens, I was in the video department.
Yeah.
So I have a picture hanging in my office of being up in the lift with the camera on my shoulder, and then I also had two of my summer jobs that were helping ends meet. I drove a Frito-Lay truck and a Wonder Bread truck.
And you were like in that show, of Queens.
I have two matchboxes on my desk of a Frito-Lay truck and a Wonder Bread truck. So
reminder.
If I ever need a dose of humility, I just start crashing those into each other.
So, but when you were coaching high school football, and now you're dealing with these very, very, you know, very talented, high-priced athletes, are there similarities to the way you coached, or did you just keep changing your style of coaching, no matter what level it was at?
You have to evolve, but I think there's universals in coaching, because coaching at its core is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to have the ability as a coach to take some things that are potentially complex and understand who your players are and be able to put it in terms that each individual can understand. I think a big part of coaching is the psychology of it, that you have to know what motivates your players, what doesn't motivate them. You know, my dad used to say, "Hey, you better know whether you got to give him the carrot or the whip, and you need to know which one to use." And he was masterful at that, and that was one of the things that I learned from him, that you have to know what buttons to press with your guys. But the big thing is get to know them. This is a people business.
Yeah.
And that's true whether you're coaching high school kids and dealing with their parents, or whether you're at the college level, which I was very briefly in the 90s, or at the NFL. It's get to know your people. And that's the best way to lead.
And Coach, beyond your father, and I know you talked about it in that scrimmage, over there in Rochester with Rex Ryan being influenced, who else has kind of influenced, the smorgasbord that becomes you as an NFL head coach along your journey?
Yeah, it's been a great run for me. Just when I look back and just some of the guys that I was around. When I step in, first of all, I was a graduate assistant for Johnny Majors at the University of Pittsburgh, and was fortunate to play for George Welsh at Virginia, which were two great experiences for me. But when I got into the NFL, here I am. I really just get just thrust into a room with Rex. I mean, Brian Billick said, "Hey, listen, we have plenty of help on offense. Why don't you go help Rex? He doesn't have an assistant." And then on that staff, there was Mike Nolan. It ended up being Mike Singletary, Mike Smith, who was with the Falcons, and then later on it was Chuck Pagano was fortunate to work with Chuck, and just all those guys. Them being one of Harbaugh, on John Harbaugh's first staff before leaving to go to New York, just being able to take pieces from every single one of those guys, and then but at my core, the foundation really does come from my dad. Just what I learned from him. That the universal truths about football, and it's all about details and the little things, and when I truly look at it, that's where my base is.
Doug, you really get a boot out of talking to Mike's dad over when you've visited with him at training camp or before a game.
Old school, real old school, but it's something you relate to. I mean, he's a very intriguing man to talk to, and having watched that video,
that was a terrific piece. Hey, Coach, for our fans that are listening today, it's Tuesday, and you're on to Tennessee, but give us the nuts and bolts. What are you and the staff doing today?
Today is that the players are off today, which is that's a win-win, because it gives them a chance to step away from it and recharge and refresh and get off their feet and start to do their own opponent prep. They all have their surface tablets, and they can study the film, and we give them assignments for who to what cut-ups to watch. But coaching-wise, we are we're in game planning mode.
Mm-hmm.
So the coordinators are on different schedules. I know working with the offense more now that Flip has it split up into pods. There's a run pod and a pass pod. The run stuff starts to get formulated. You want to make sure that your play actions match your runs. So we'll hit the pause button. The runs will get presented. We'll decide what passes are we going to run off of those. So it all marries up. But Flip does a good job organizing the day. Getting everybody together, getting ideas, then pulling them in, and then he'll kind of shut himself in his office and filter everything down and eliminate and clean a few things up, and then push out the practice scripts to everybody so they can draw the cards for tomorrow's practice, and off we go.
Huh, full day.
Just out of curiosity, every on the sidelines now you have the iPads where you watch the formation.
Well, they're I don't want to mess our sponsorship.
Microsoft Surface
tablets. Yeah.
Poor Al Michaels got into a big mess the other night. He just committed the fumble that you did.
They used to send down to the sidelines.
We still have the option of using both.
But has it been an improvement for you guys? Or helped a lot?
It is. And actually, the league now, they experimented with in the preseason, is live video on the tablets, which was never available. It was always the stills. The system way back when used to be Polaroids. Then it became, they were almost like medical imaging printers, like a, you know, like an ultrasound type print, the black and whites. And then they started, the quality got better. It was color prints. And now it's with the tablets. There's still some issues that we're working out with the tablets. That's why we have both available. Okay. We can still do the paper prints in a book, or we could still do the tablet. The issue is, some of it is on those 1 o'clock games when the sun is real bright. Yeah. Anybody that knows, it's try to read a tablet, you know, read a book off of a tablet laying on the beach. It's not not real easy thing to do. So that's something that they've been working on to try to make sure that you can, the contrast is good. You can still see it, but I think we're headed in the right direction, and hopefully we can get to the live video.
And you know, for a while when you were in Baltimore, you worked with the film people that are Doobie and those guys. But I noticed over in Rochester that they had that little unit that was a telescopic thing, and the guy just sat down on the bench and operated it. After that situation in Notre Dame, I got to believe that's a better thing to have, where the guy fell out of the booth or got hit by the lightning.
Yeah, the video stuff, it's all that stuff's coming to the league, the technology part, where a lot of it can be robotic or remote. You know, teams that are now starting to get into the virtual reality, that those cameras are being put on tripods out on the field and filming it, and then you're able to go in later on. There's a bunch of teams that are getting involved in that. So the technology just keeps getting better and better. Our biggest decision is decide what we don't want as opposed to what we do want.
But we're going to have an old-fashioned chalk talk with the coach as part of the radio.
We say old-fashioned chalk. It's not a blackboard.
Whiteboard? You're not going to be up
marker?
There.
It's a whiteboard talk. Chalk talk sounds better. Though,
see, I like that. I like that. Remember that NFL Films thing with Vince Lombardi when he drew up the Green Bay sweep? No, what we're looking for, gentlemen, is a seam here and a seam there. But you know what's amazing, Coach, was when you talk chalk talk with fans or with a coach like you, it's amazing how, for instance, you'll take plays, I'm sure, from last Sunday and say, we just missed on this by this little thing right here. And it's just like a foot off or just a half shade or a quick turn, and it could have turned into a big play. That's kind of the interesting part of chalk talk.
Well,
that's the game, right?
Matt. I mean, there's a reason it's a game of inches became a cliche, because it's very true. You could point to you know, almost every play. I mean, it always cracks me up that virtually every special teams coach will say, oh, we were kickoff return, we were one block away.
Yeah.
Well, you're always one block away. So, but it is. There are so many instances where you're just so close. But that's what it is. I mean, the good teams have the successful teams are the ones that have those plays go in their favor.
So that's one of our once-in-a-lifetime experiences in the Radiothon, Chalk Talk, with the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine. So with that, we hope that you'll bid on that and bid high and bid off.
That'd be interesting to me.
Yeah, that would be interesting to a lot of people. So that we thank you for doing that, Coach. And
I had a blast doing it last year.
That's what I heard. I heard you were really – everybody was really intrigued by it.
Yeah, they had to kick us out. I think we went over the time a little bit. We went a little long.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's coming up, and that's available to you right here at the Browns Radiothon. Coach, thanks for your time today, and we wish for a good week coming up and a great Sunday.
This would be a great week for the Browns to raise this kind of money for a great cause, and then have get a big win on the home.
That's right,
absolutely, yeah. Coach, thanks a lot.
Great, thank you.
Head coach Mike Pettine joining us here on the Cleveland Browns Foundation Radiothon here on this very special Tuesday in Berea. Matt Wilhelm, Doug Deacon, and Jim Donovan with you here, and we'll continue with more here on ESPN 850 WKNR right after a timeout.